Praise the Lord. Amen. God is good. Hallelujah. It's good to see you all this beautiful day that the Lord God Almighty has made for every one of us to rejoice and be glad. Amen. What day is it? So it is a day of what? It's a day of what? It's a day of what? It's a day of rejoicing. Has the devil made any days? And what day is this? So the Lord makes days, but the devil doesn't make any days. But he says, I will do what? I will rejoice and be glad in it. Who does the rejoicing for you? Somebody else? Is it an act of your will? It's a decision. So if it's a decision, it must mean that there might be challenges in the day. But you make the decision to do what? To rejoice. That word is for somebody this morning. You make the decision. It's a deliberate decision. You make the decision to be sad. You make the decision to be happy. To rejoice means that you enjoy yourself. Because sometimes you get depleted, get filled. How does that happen? It happens because you receive the joy of the Lord. And you are strengthened. Amen? You receive the joy of the Lord and you receive strength. And that strength gives you the drive that you need to break through. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Well, happy Grandparents' Day to all the grandparents. Amen. It's a special day. Hallelujah. God is good. Amen. Well, this morning, I want to go to a passage of scripture that we prayed through last Friday. And it's not left my heart. And I believe it is for me to share with us today. But if you were here on Friday, don't think that you know everything I said. So listen, and listen good. Hallelujah. It's found in Psalm 91. To me, the very first psalm that comes to mind is Psalm 23, second one is Psalm 91, the third one is Psalm, what's yours? One? Yeah? For you it's five? One for me. So we in sync. And that's the psalm we read this morning. But we are not going to be ministering from Psalm 1 this morning. We want to look at Psalm 91. It's a psalm that a lot of believers jump on and claim. But this psalm is not for everybody. It's for everybody that does what it says you should do. And those are the people that have the benefit of this psalm. Yes, evil things happen to good people. Bad things happen. But we can minimize a lot of casualties when we connect with this psalm on the basis of what the Word of God says. This is the only psalm, and maybe possibly the only scripture, where I can find four particular things happening, where I see the declaration of God. The Holy Spirit reminds us of what the Word of God says. And the very first verse says, makes a promise as a statement of fact. He that dwelleth, he that dwelleth, he that remains, he that word dwelleth can also be translated or related to the word married. So in a sense, he that is married. Because when you marry, you dwell. Hello? When you marry, you're not supposed to be jumping around on the street. He that settles, he that continues, all of those words are connected to this word, yashab. It's Hebrew word yashab. Continue. The Bible tells us in John chapter 8, in John chapter 8 and verse 31, it says, then said Jesus to those Jews which believed on him, they believed on him, if you continue in my word, then are you my what? Disciples indeed. Disciples are those that are under the training, the mentorship of a master teacher. Amen? All right. If you continue in my word, then are you my disciples indeed. And what is going to happen? You will know the what? The truth. And the truth shall make you free. In essence, the truth that you know will make you free. What truth do you know? The truth that you knew because you continued in my word. So he that dwells in the secret place of the Almighty, someone, Bible says, shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. Let's look at it. He that dwelleth, I'm not preaching, I'm teaching. Amen? And I've been doing that for the last few weeks, just taking my time, getting something to you, because these are life lessons, spiritual lessons, that you must take a hold on and never forget. It's got to go deep, 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 deep inside of you. You got to know this. He that dwelleth in the secret place. But we just talked about continuing in terms of the word dwelleth. So where exactly are we dwelling? In the secret place. Well, what is that secret? The Bible says God will do nothing in the earth except that he reveals his what? Secrets to his what? Prophets, his servants, the prophets. Huh? Proverbs. Come with me again. God, Amos 3:7, God will do what? Nothing, except that he reveals what? His secrets to his what? Servants, the what? Prophets. What do prophets do? They prophesy. They say the word of God. We're together so far. So what is the secret place? The secret place is in the word. Are we together? The secret place where? It's in the word. The answers that you need is in the secret place of the word of God. Bible says that when you pray to him in secret, he will do what? He'll reward you openly. So the word of God, when you dwell in that word of God, you are positioned to be exalted. Amen. Are we together? If you miss anything, just say, Isa, Isa. We're in a class. Okay, so the secret place. He that dwells in the secret place, he that dwells in the word of God. Oh, what did Mama read? In Psalm 1. What does Psalm 1 say? Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor seated in the seat of the what? Scornful, but does what? What does verse 2 say? But his what? His delight is in the what? The law of the Lord, which is what? The word of the Lord. And in his law, his word, doth he what? Meditate when? Day and night. Is there any other time other than day and night? So that means that you are abiding in the word of God 24/7. Are we together? He says what in verse 3? He shall be what? Like a tree that is what? Planted by the what? Rivers of water. Rivers of water. So you're not living in a parched land. You are by that which will give you moisture. And what happens? You bring forth your fruit in his season. And he says, your leaf will not what? Wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall what? Prosper. Now, we are laying the foundation of the importance of being rooted in the word, abiding in the word. So when he says, he that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide. If you stay in the word, come. If you stay in the word, you abide. Because the word of God grounds you. And anytime you want to move anywhere else, you know, that's not good. I'm going to stay here. Praise the Lord. People that do not know God backslide. Let me say that again. People that don't know God backslide. People that do not know God with all of their hearts, who have not abided in the word of God, walk away from God. Other things become more important because you have not placed premium value in being in the Word of God, being in the presence of God. Any fool can come and deceive you. Oh, I don't know what happened. He loved God with all of his heart. How come he's now living in sin? No, he did not. Because if the Word of God is inside of you, the Word of God is incorruptible. You were born again with an incorruptible Word. And the Bible says that we are moving from glory to glory. The place God birthed you in is in a place of glory. And when you come into that place of glory, you are mobilized by the strength of God and you stay in the glory. Those that walk uprightly stay in the light. Those that are practicing evil lurk around in darkness. Are we together so far? If you are meddling with things that are not good, something is wrong on the inside. You got to check on the inside. Am I dwelling in the secret place of the Most High God? Am I dwelling in the Word of God? Am I dwelling in the person of God? Am I dwelling in the promises of God? Am I dwelling in the goodness, the glory of God? You must ask yourself that question. He says, those that stay there abide under the shadow, the covering of the Almighty. Now, that is the statement of fact. Verse 2 talks about how you activate that promise of God in your life. So it says, I will say of the Lord. Remember, what you ask for, you receive. But what you say, you have. So the Word of God will say, let the redeemed of the Lord say so. Say what? I am redeemed. That's how you activate it. The word confession is about stating the same thing, homologia, saying the same word. Whatever God's word says, I say. So I say, because the promise of God says, he that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I say, I am dwelling in the secret place of the Most High. I am abiding under the shadow of the Almighty. Are we together so far? Now, he says, I will serve the Lord, that he, the Lord, is my what? Refuge, and he is my fortress. He is my refuge and my fortress. He is my refuge, makase. Now, that word, refuge, basically connotes the idea of hope, of trust, of security. He is my refuge. I find safety in him. And he is my fortress. This is an interesting word because I believe it's a word that Jews use for their similar to CIA, their spying agency, Mossad. And it's saying, God is my fortress. What is this fortress? What is this fortress that we're talking about? It is, God is my defense, my Mossad. God is my defense. God is my castle. Hallelujah. God is my strong place. That's what I'm saying. But notice the punctuation there. To simplify it, he says, my God, in him will I trust. Now, do you know that God is your God? And if he's your God, what kind of a God is he? Is he a God of impossibilities? Is he a God that lies? Is he a God that fails? Is he a God that wins some of the time? Is he a God that conquers some of the time? Well, we might say no and no and no, but when push turns to shove, do we really believe that God is more than enough? Not just sufficient, he's more than enough. And so basically when he says, I will serve the Lord, he's my refuge and my fortress, my God, in him will I trust. You are declaring by that statement, my God, in him I trust, you are declaring he's more than enough. He's more than sufficient. He's more than enough. He covers it all. And God, I trust you. And because I trust you, you will be refuge and you'll be fortress for me. In Proverbs 18, it tells us about the name of the Lord. The name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous runneth into it and is safe. Amen? The name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous run into it and they find safety. But if I just leave it there, we'll lose the impact of it. Because the next statement says, the rich man's wealth is his strong city. And as an high wall in his own conceit. So, in a sense, the rich man's wealth, he says, it's not just my fortress, it's the whole city. I have it all. He says, but before destruction, the heart of man is haughty, is proud, and before honor is humility. Before God elevates you, he'll bring you to a place where you practice humility in his presence, because God's intent, I want you to hear this, God's intent is to lift you up, not you lifting up yourself in your own pride and arrogance, but God lifting you up. Because if you humble yourself before God, he says, I will do what? Lift you up higher and higher. Amen? Now, let's leave those two alone. This next segment from verse 3 to 13 is the Lord speaking. Verse 1, a statement is made. And before God does anything, the Holy Spirit's got to be there. So I do believe that verse 1 is a declaration of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit says, he that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. Oh, I will say, that's me. I will say of the Lord, I will say that he is my refuge and my fortress, my God, in him I will trust. Now Jesus comes into the place and Jesus says, wow, you said it. Surely. And he points to the Father. He shall deliver thee. Because of what you just said, in agreement with the Holy Spirit, he shall deliver thee from this snare of the fowler. You just came into a promise. Papa is going to deliver you from the snare of the fowler. Deliver you. What is this word? Marcele. It means that God is going to snatch you. You were heading to trouble. But now that you said that I'm your refuge and my... Father is going to snatch you out. Somebody say, Lord God Almighty, my Father and my God, snatch me out from the snare of the fowler. That is the entrapment that the enemy has set for you. You don't see it. You don't know it. You have no idea that you are heading towards trouble. And yet the power of God comes. Snatch. The entrapper is trying to trap you, and God comes. When I declare and I know and I stay in the fact that God is my God, the one that I place my trust in. Are you placing your trust in chariots? On some military force? Your bank account? Your employer? Your father? Your mother? If that's who you place your trust in, you're going down. I remember many years ago, I was in San Bernardino. Father came to me and said to me, "You have another God." I said, "I don't. I don't have any other gods but you." He says, "You do have another God." I said, I said, "I don't have any other God. You are my God." So he asked me a question. Let's say you have this problem and you need $10,000 to solve it. What are you going to do? I said, "I'll call my papa." "I'll call my dad." I said, "Dad, I need some money." "What if you have this problem and that problem and you need a resolution to it? What are you going to..." I said, "I'll call my father." He said, "Didn't I tell you you had another God?" Then it dawned on me. Yikes. I really, truly had another God. I had my problem solver. My father is going to solve the problem. But God, how many of you know God is a good God? God was trying to get me ready for the challenges I was going to face when I came to Canada. Because it was shortly after that I came to Canada, and the economy of Nigeria collapsed completely. You couldn't send out foreign exchange. It was shut down. So we are here, Mama and I. We couldn't work. We couldn't do anything. Now I had to trust in God to meet our needs according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. We knew nobody here. There's no rich uncle. No brother, no sister, no father, no mother, nobody here that we knew that could help us. The only person that we knew that could do anything about anything was God. And so we had to consult with God. And in talking to God and not to any man, we told no man what our problems were. We didn't tell them when we had no money, no food in the house, nothing. And we'll come out of the house and there's groceries outside. Groceries. We didn't ask whose grocery is this. We just took it in. It's in front of my house. It's going inside my house. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. God met our needs. I had nobody to trust in. Mama had nobody else to trust in. We couldn't even trust each other to solve our problems. Only God. But in the midst of all of those problems, the challenges, God was there with us. Mama was pregnant, going to school at UFW, and she walked all the way from Dufferin all the way to UFW in the winter. But before she went that way, she would walk all the way to St. John's over here from Dufferin to drop the children for daycare and then go the other way. We weren't telling anybody what our problem was. Not a soul. I remember a dear woman of God was listening to our television program at that point called Message of Deliverance. She lived on Grant. And she called, "I need some help." And took her in and ministered to her. And she'll come now and then. And one day, she comes with a Royal Bank passbook. Gives it to us. It had $1,000 in it. So I know you're going to be going for immigration and to get your visa or whatever, extension here. We went, at that time, the immigration office was by the Delta Hotel, by Convention Center. We went there, showed that we had $1,000 in an account. Came back home, called the lady and said, "Thank you for giving us that $1,000 because we had to go for visa." And I said, "I'd like to bring that passbook back to you, give you back your $1,000. She said, no. God spoke to me to give you $1,000. Because you were going to need it. It was not because we sat her down and told her our sorry story. God knows how to connect and put things together for you. Hallelujah. When it was time, and we've gone through this like every month, we were there, sometimes every other week, where the immigration, they give us 2 weeks extension. Finally, they told us, "You, if you come here next week without having lots of money in your account, you are going to be deported." So the night before, kneeling in front of our bed, we cried out to God, "God, what are we going to do? Tomorrow we're going." And he says, "Ask me to see the manager. Why would God ask us to ask him? Because he wanted us to what? Say. So I said, tomorrow, when we get to the immigration office, Lord, we want to see the manager. I didn't even have an idea, no clue that there was a manager in the immigration office. The next day when we got there, the whole place is packed, full of people. And there we were sitting, just looking up and down, what is going to happen? And so this bald-headed guy walk from inside the office where we'll normally go to. He walks out the door. I don't know why I noticed that, but I just remember seeing that happen. I didn't know there was another door on the outside where he could go in. So about an hour later, close to 1 o'clock, we've been there for like 4 or 5 hours. Here comes this man again. From this side, I'm saying, huh? We've been looking steadily in one direction. When did he come through that we didn't know? Anyway, he goes, grabs a file, and he says, muttering a name. Sounded close enough. So I said, I think that's us. Is that you? He said, yes. He says, follow me. So we followed him. We followed him and we went past all the cubicles into a real office. Big desk. And he says, sit down, sat down, and the first thing we saw was manager. I said, oh, suki suki, something is happening here. Manager. So the guy starts trying to fill the form. He goes out, we're looking, he grabs a book, looks at the book, because his manager, how is he going to go ask his employees? He should know everything. But the guy has been out of it so long, he had to go check. He comes, we're not worried. We're just sitting down there. We're confident now because God said, ask me to see the manager. He fills out everything and we're heading out and says, oh, come back. He says, how much do you have in the bank? I said, no, how much money do you have? I said, we don't have any money. No, I'm not saying how much do you have here, how much do you have in the bank? I said, we don't have any money. For the first time, we are right at ground zero. No money. Other times we might have $300, $500, like the time the lady gave us a thousand, and they will give us a week, 2 weeks, 1 month extension. Now we have zero. And the guy says, listen, look at me. I'm going to give you a 6 month visa to stay, and in 6 months, you don't have what you need, I personally will take you to the airport. You won't go home. I'll take you to the airport and allez, you're gone. Bye. Wow. The law says I cannot work. How is this going to happen? Our trust. My God, in him will I trust. Within that 6 months, that's when a pastor called Pastor John Lucas called And he says to me, I can still see myself right now, Suite 9, 285 Dufferin, standing by the phone on the wall. You remember those days? It was in cell phones. And if you have to go from one room to the other, you have to have some kind of a connection, and you drag this thread from room to room. No cell. The guy says to me, he says, our council just voted and asked that you be our pastor of visitation and evangelism. And you cannot say no. Did you hear what I just said? I didn't apply for the job. I didn't even attend that church that often. They were like Methodist. I'm Pentecostal. I'm going there. I'm raising my hands up. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. And people will be looking at you. Week after, yes, it was there. You know, week after week, we will go into the country. This Manitoba. We covered a lot of Manitoba. Weekend. Preaching. Going from place to place. Come home. You know, sometimes they'll give you money. Sometimes zero. Bless you, man of God. That was so good. We really appreciate your ministry. Thank you so very much. I said, bring the money, bring the money. No money. Come on. Somebody help me here. Nothing. Oh, man. And sometimes if they even give you something, to find some stale bread. And hand you stale bread. And all we did during those days, we visited every thrift store. We knew all the thrift stores, you know, in this Winnipeg. We knew every nook and corner. And the amazing thing about the thrift store is that when we go there, we find new stuff that were like tailor-made for us. So I was always, was I not always dressed good? Always sharp. But I got it from Salvation Army. Hallelujah. God was doing something. And the word of the Lord says there in verse 4, he says, he's going to cover you with his feathers, and under his wings shall thou trust. His truth, which is his word, remember, shall be thy shield and buckler. A shield is a big unit. Shields were made to protect the military, the soldiers, from spears and arrows, to cover themselves, you know, as a defense. He says, God is going to be a shield for you, to cover you. And then he's also going to be a buckler. A buckler is a small shield, round shield. You wear it on your wrist. And it's what you use when you have close combat. You can't use the big shield. You use the buckler. And you're fighting and you're pounding with the buckler. Are you with me? So God is saying, he's going to be the one who takes on the big fights and the small ones. The ones that are coming from the distance and the ones that are close by. Because you said, he's my God and I trust you. God is going to be all of that to you. Amen? Verse 5. He says, thou shalt not be afraid. You're not going to be afraid. Now that you say God is your God and you trust in him, you're not going to have to be afraid anymore. For the terror by night, nor for the arrow that flieth by day. For those things that you don't see and those things that you see coming at you. The one that's happening in the night, you don't see it. Poof! Ooh. The one that's coming in the day, you see it coming. Oh my. He says, but I'm going to be protection for you. I remember just a few days ago, I was leaving church. I'd ministered to a young man. The Lord had worked a work of deliverance in the life of that young man that evening. It was Sunday evening. And I turned my car around here, heading home. And I was going to shift from one lane to the other. Before I tried to do that, I had already checked. I saw nothing. And I'm swerving to the next lane, and I see a white vehicle. We are just about to, right in front of the church. And as that happened, there's a safety mechanism in the vehicle that protects you from stuff like that. But I don't know why it didn't work right away. But anyway, the Lord God, my helper, we were like next to each other. I'm already heading in that direction. So there's no way I'm not going to hit this guy. I said, thank you, Lord. I knew why that accident was going to happen. It was about what just happened inside the church. A young man's life had forever been changed. And the enemy wanted to bring damage. But here is God. You're not going to have to be afraid. If I was afraid, fear would take a hold of before I think another thought. But I saw it, and by grace moved out of the way. God had worked on my behalf. He says, nor are you going to be afraid of the pestilence that walketh in darkness. Pestilence that walketh in darkness, hidden from view. A virus, hidden from your perspective. Anything that is going to be destructive, he says, you're not going to have to deal with that. Because you said God is. I want you to notice what I'm saying so far. What I want you to get is that the simple fact is that you don't have to do too much other than do one thing. Dwell in the Word of God, and God begins to do the rest. Because, child of God, you don't have a clue of all the things that are possible that the enemy has engineered, snares and entrapments that is put all over the place to destroy you. You have no clue. There are wicked people in the world smiling at you, saying, hello, how are you doing? And meanwhile, while you think they are happy with you, they are celebrating with you, they want you dead, 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 D-E-A-D, dead. And you don't know it. You're at work and they are plotting every plot that they can plot to take your position, strip you of your source of well-being. They see that you're doing something, you're selling something, that's what they want to go and sell. And they won't get all kinds of things, sell theirs even cheaper than yours. Are you with me so far? People can be mean and wicked. You don't know what is walking in the darkness, nor for the destruction that wasted at noonday, right in front of everybody. Boom! There it is. See, you don't know. He says, but I tell you what, since you said that he's your God and you trust him, I tell you what's going to happen. 1,000 shall fall at thy side, and 10,000 at your right hand, but it shall not come nigh thee. Whatever it is that's happened there, it's not going to come near you. He said, be assured of that. Whatever is happening to them, it's not going to happen to you. It doesn't have the power over your life. It has no way to remove you because you are rooted and grounded in my word. You are at the side of this river, and your leaves are not going to wither. You're going to be fruitful. It says, but the wicked are not so. They will fall apart, but you are not. They're going to fall at your side. They're going to fall at your right hand, but you are going to be okay. Is somebody listening? Oh, the economy is bad. Well, not for you. I don't know if you heard what I just said. If the definition of your life is based on what the free press says, the National, CNN, Fox, CBC, ABC, if that's what or social media, Twitter or X, if that's where you're getting your information from and building your life based on, you're going down. Because that's not you. You are of the kingdom of God. And you are an ambassador of God. Hello? You are God's ambassador. And ambassadors get furnished, supplied by the home government. Are we together so far? An ambassador is protected by his home government. His house is his home government. His car is his home government. So, the vehicle of the ambassador of the United States in Canada cannot be tampered with by anyone because that's the United States. And everywhere it drives to, it carries the emblem and the sanctification, the diplomatic immunity of the United States. Are we together? Which kingdom do you belong to? And how is God going to meet all of your needs? According to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. My thinking, your thinking, our thinking needs to accommodate that reality. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. And God grants to you and I the faith to connect with that. Glory be to God. When we moved into this building here, it was not because we had lots of money. We couldn't even pay the rent where we were. Remember? 382 Maryland. Couldn't even pay it. It was just 1,000 something. And God brought me here and showed me this building. Says, go take it. I'm saying, something must be wrong with God. Go take what? That huge building. I can't pay for what I where I am. You want me to go buy this building? Yeah. The whole year we didn't even gather $50,000. And the down payment for this place, the first down payment was going to be $50,000. So that's like the whole annual. And I'm here, turning around in that same spot. And the Lord speaks to me and says, if you don't go take it, I will personally close down this church. I said, what? You're going to close down which church? You asked me to go and get that building? What was he doing? He was not depending on my ability. He was depending on himself. And he was wanting license to work in me and through me. Through you. Through us. When God calls us to do something, it is not based on our ability. He knows what he's going to do. When God asks us right in the heat of COVID to renovate, get the LED screen and all of that and change all of this. He didn't even tell me that all of this was going to change. It was after the fact, then it dawned on me, oops, how are we going to do this? How is this going to happen? Well, I'm going to walk you through it. And not only did we do what he said we should do, we did much more than that, transformed the inside here and transformed the overflow, the banquet hall. How did God do that? It's not for me to figure out. All I know is God did what God does. He provides. He brings the resources that are needed. Amen? So while 1,000 falls this way and 10,000 that way, he says, it's not going to come nigh thee. I'm taking care of you. Father is doing it. Father is going to do it. He says, only with thine eyes shall thou behold and see the reward of the wicked. They're going to get their payback. Hallelujah. Then it goes on. It says, because thou hast made the Lord, which is my refuge. Now, remember I said, Jesus is the one talking here. And he's calling the Father his refuge. The Father says, sit down here until I make all of your enemies your what? Footstool. In Psalm 2, he says, he's going to say of the Lord what the Lord had decreed. God says, I'm his son. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. That is the declaration of the Lord. He is declaring what the Father said. And God is saying for us, you and I, to say the same thing the Father is saying. Let me show it to you. Psalm 2. Psalm chapter 2. Verse 7. I will declare the decree. The Lord hath said unto me, thou art my what? Son. This day have I begotten thee. He said, I'm going to say that. And when, because I know that, this Father who says that I'm his son says to me, ask of me, and I shall give thee the heathen for thine inheritance, and the utmost parts of the earth for thy possession. And because I'm his son, he's saying to me, you're going to break them, the ungodly, with a rod of iron, and thou shalt dash them in pieces like a potter's vessel. These are the benefits of being a son. So Psalm 92 or 91 continues and says emphatically, because thou hast made the Lord, which is my refuge, even the Most High, thy habitation, your dwelling place, there shall no evil befall thee, neither shall any plague come nigh thy dwelling. Oh, this disease is going all over. Everybody's catching it. Well, don't catch it. He says, it's not going to come near you. It's not going to come near your what? Thy dwelling. Near their what? Thy dwelling. But where are you dwelling? In the secret place. It's not going to come. In other words, no matter what the evil, it is not going to contradict the word of God. Amen? The word of God is forever established. Someone come nigh thy dwelling. Where you dwelling? Someone come there. For he is going to give his angels charge over thee to keep thee in all thy ways. Wherever it is that you go in, the angels of God are there. Because you are in your fortress. And every fortress has to have a military force guarding it. Or it's just a building. Hello? It's a fortress because there's a force guarding it. And those forces are the angels of God surrounding you, protecting you, warding off whatever evil is coming and stabilizing everything that's on the inside, that nothing be stolen. They shall bear thee up in their hands, lest thou dash thy foot against a stone. these angels are going to make sure that you don't dash your foot against a stone. But more than that, that's the small part. It says, but you know what else is going to happen? You're going to tread upon the lion. You're going to tread upon the adder. You're going to tread upon the young lion and the dragon shall thou trample on their feet. Basically what the word of God is saying is that you are going to have the capacity and the ability to stomp everything down that does not belong in your life. Because you said God is your God and you trust Him, you are going to have stomping power. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Do you receive that? Now, Jesus has finished his part. Now the Father comes into the discussion now. The Father comes into it and He says, because He set His, love upon me. Now the Father is speaking directly to you, speaking directly to me, and saying, because you've set your love upon me, therefore will I deliver him or deliver you. I will set him on high because he had known my name. You know my name. The name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous run into it and they're safe. And now he's going to, listen to, because he has set his love upon me, therefore will I do what? Deliver him. That's a very interesting word. It's the word palat. It's not the same as the first word that we talked about. This is a different word. What does this word mean? It means that he is going to cause you to slip away. You know, somebody, let me put it this way. You're in a house. Your enemy saw you go into that house. And they decide they're going to destroy you in that house. They come and they are going to firebomb that house. There's no way for you to escape. So they think. But all of a sudden, God makes a hole. And you are out of that place. And they blow the whole place up, thinking that you were there, but you have slept away. Well, this is the experience of Paul. Paul is just newly saved. He's received the word of God through Ananias. The scales had fallen off of his eyes. And in Acts chapter 9, we'll take it from verse 17, Acts 9, verse 17, to give you a full sense of what's happening here. It says, Ananias went his way after he had ministered to him and entered into the house and putting his hands on him said, Brother Saul, the Lord, even Jesus that appeared unto thee in the way as thou camest, had sent me that thou mightest receive thy sight and be filled with the Holy Ghost. And immediately there fell from his eyes, as it had been, scales, and he received sight forthwith and arose and was baptized. And when he had received meat, he was strengthened. Then was Saul certain days with his disciples, with the disciples which were at Damascus, and straightway he preached Christ in the synagogues that he is the Son of God. But all that heard him were amazed, and said, "Is not this he that destroyed them which called on this name in Jerusalem and came hither for that intent, that he might bring bound unto the chief priest?" But Saul increased the more in strength and confounded the Jews which dwelt at Damascus, proving that this is very Christ. Now the next two verses are crucial. It says, "And after many days were fulfilled, the Jews took" what? "Counsel" to do what? To kill him. In verse 24, while they were planning, it says, "But their laying await was known of Saul." In other words, God revealed to Saul, "These people are trying to plan, they're planning to kill you." And they watched the gates. They watched the gates day and what? Night. To do what? To kill him. Well, what does he do? He says, "Then the disciples took him by night and let him down by the wall in a basket." So while they were busy checking out all the doors, he was going down the other way. That is God saying, "I'm going to deliver. You're going to slip away. They're not going to know how you got out, but you're what? Getting out." Oh, come on, help me, somebody. They think they've got you. They've cornered you. You're going to lose, and you slip away. The enemy of your soul will forever be frustrated. Hallelujah. Because God says, "Hey, you trust me? I'm going to show you how I do. There he is, there he's not. Where did he go? Where did he go? Where did he go?" I'm going to sleep you away. The Bible tells us about Jesus. You open the word in Luke 4. And he preached a powerful message. He says, "This is why I came." In Luke 4:18. "I came, the Lord, God has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. Bring deliverance." And all of that. And it says, today this scripture is fulfilled in your eyes, to your hearing. And the people are so upset, they grab him and they take him to the edge of the city by the cliff, and they go and push him head down. And he just turns around. Slipped away. Amen? He just slipped away. He passing through the midst of them. Went where? His way. That is a... God says, "Hey, I'm going to do that for you. It's good, Jesus. It's good you told him all of... But let me tell you something. This is what I'm going to do." And within two verses, he tells us again another word for deliverance. For the Bible says, in Psalm 91, I'll be done in a moment. He says, "He shall call upon me and I will answer him. And I will be with him" where? In trouble. You're not going to be by yourself. You're in trouble. I'm going to be there with you. Why? Because I'm going to show you another thing. I will deliver him. Oh. I will what? deliver him. Now, this is not the same word as snatch away in verse 3. This is not the same word as I'm going to slip you through anyway. This one is I'm going to remove you. It's a word for remove. It's a word to draw out. It's a word to take off. It's a word for stripping. In other words, God is saying, listen, because you call upon me, I'm going to answer you. And if there is anything that needs to be stripped off from your life, I'm going to do what? Strip it off. If there's something that needs to be removed, I am going to remove it. If there's anything that needs to be pulled out, I'm going to pull it out. Hallelujah. It's a commitment from God. But it also means to arm and to equip this word. So God is saying, listen, I'm going to deliver you because I'm going to be with you in the trouble. And when I'm with you in the trouble, I am going to equip you. You know, sometimes, you know, Mama tells a story about how some guy jumped her when she was younger, and she came home, and Dad says, put your clothes on. We're going, where is the house? Take care of business. And she had to fight. But Papa is there. Are you with me? Sometimes God takes you to the fight and says, take care of business. And he gives you strength. He gives you confidence. He gives you whatever it is that you need to do what you thought you could not do. He gets rid of the fear inside of you. It is the dog. It's not the size of the dog, but the size of the fight in the dog that causes the dog to win. A chihuahua can take off a bulldog. Hello? A small little rat can kill somebody if you corner it. Pussycat. You think you're so big? Corner that pussycat, and if it has boldness inside of it, that today is not the day I'm going to die, guess who's going to die? It's going to jump all over you, scratch your eyes out. You'll be the one running. And God brings you and I to the place where we say, no more. This is it. This is it. God's fight is inside of me. He has enabled me. And he says, that's how I'm going to deliver you. I'm going to deliver you by snatching you out of problems. I'm going to deliver you by slipping you out. But sometimes I'm going to deliver you by making you put the fear of God on whoever and whatever it is that's trying to mess with you. Hello? Three ways. Every way will work. Amen? Hallelujah. And finally, he says, and honor him. I'm going to honor him. That word is the word kabod, similar to the word kabod, which is the word for glory. He says, I'm going to honor you. Because you put your trust in me and you believe me, I'm going to honor you. I'm going to put my kabod on you. I'm going to glorify you. I'm going to load you up. I don't know if you use that word here when somebody's really rich. Do you say he's loaded? Okay, that's what we're talking about. That's kabod. Loaded. Rich. When? You're going to call on me. I'm going to deliver you. And I'm going to honor you. And then it says, with long life will I satisfy him. This is God speaking to you. This is not a prophet. This is God himself saying, I'm going to satisfy you with long life. And I'm going to show you my salvation, my saving grace. So in one psalm, we hear the speaking of the Holy Spirit in verse 1. In verse 2, we hear what it is that we need to say. In verse 3 to 13, Jesus pointing to what the Father is going to do. In verse 14 through 16, the Father is saying, this is what I'm going to do. And the bottom line to all of it is simple. You don't have to do much. Just believe that God is your God and trust him. That's it. That's it. It's not complex. Spend your time pursuing after God, and God takes care of the rest. You don't know all the things that you need to pray about. God's got you covered. Amen? You belong to me. I got your back. Rise with me. Even those of you at home, rise with me. If you cannot boldly say that God is your God and no other, and you trust in him, then you should do what the Father did when Jesus says, you believe I can solve this problem. He said, I believe, help thou my unbelief. If you are not stable in your spiritual walk, for whatever the reason is, but you want to make that change today, because we're going to say in just a moment, Father, you're my God, I trust in you. If those words are not going to be true, they're not going to ring true in your spirit, in your soul, in your body, then I need for you, if you want that to change, to raise your hand, and I'll pray that prayer first before we pray any other prayer. Anybody here that needs to confidently say, God, you are my God, I trust in you? Anybody like that? Remember my story. I was already a Christian. God said, you have another God. And he proved it. If your faith, see that end? You can put it down. If your faith is not totally locked in God the Father, and your faith is still in where you work, your pocketbook, what you have saved, whatever, then I'm talking to you. Bless you, bless you. There's no shame in this. So for those that can't say it for now, say with me, Father, thank you for your loving kindness and your tender mercies. Forgive me for not totally trusting in you. Help me to trust and obey. For I know there is no other way but to trust and obey. I receive the capacity, the ability, the will to believe and trust in you. My confidence is in you, my Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. Now we're going to declare verse 2 together. Father, you are my refuge and my fortress. My God, in you will I always trust. My trust is in you. My confidence is in you. You are my refuge. You are my fortress. You are all things to me now. So shall it be, now and always. In Jesus' mighty name, I speak it forth. I have it. And I run the run of destiny. In the mighty name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Now we're going to declare the declaration of the Lord. We're going to say, repeat after me. Surely the Lord shall deliver me from the snare of the fowler and from the noisome pestilence. He shall cover me with his feathers, and under his wings shall I trust. His truth shall be my shield and my buckler. Shield surrounds me like favor. Favor surrounds me like a shield. Thank you, Father, in the mighty name of Jesus. I will not be afraid for the terror by night, nor the arrow that flieth by day, nor for the pestilence that walketh in darkness, nor for the destruction that wasteth at noonday. 1,000 shall fall at my side, and 10,000 at my right hand, but it shall not come nigh me. It shall not come nigh me. It shall not come nigh me. Only with mine eyes shall I behold and see the reward of the wicked. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Because I have made the Lord God my refuge, even the Most High, my habitation. No evil shall befall me, neither shall any plague come nigh my dwelling, come nigh the word of God, come nigh the place I live, which is in the presence of God. I will always abide in the secret place of the Most High God. I will always abide under the shadow of the Almighty. For this day, he gives his angels charge over me to keep me in all my ways. These angels shall bear me up in their hands so that I do not dash my foot against a stone. I will never stumble or fall. My feet are shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Therefore, I trample upon lions and upon adders, upon young lions and dragons. I trample them under my feet. I have an anointed stamping grace bestowed upon my feet. Now I stamp out everything that is not of God for my life in the mighty name of Jesus. 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 Down, down, Satan, down. Hallelujah. Father, I receive your word. You said, because I have set my love upon you, that you will deliver me. You cause me to escape every agenda, every plan, every entrapment of the enemy. I escape in the mighty name of Jesus. You said, you have set me up on high. You've set me upon a rock in the mighty name of Jesus. Every language, every word, every accusation of the enemy is shut up, is shut out. Cut off the tongue of every evil speaker in the name of Jesus. Every Amorite spirit is cut out. Every soothsaying spirit, cut out. Every spirit of divination, cut out. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Thank you, Father, that because I call upon you, you have promised to hear me. All prayers will be heard, will be answered, will be received. I will have that which I say in your presence. I will keep it all. I will flourish. I will blossom because I am like a tree planted by the rivers of water. I produce fruit. I am fruitful. I multiply. I am greatly increased in the mighty name of Jesus. My leaves will never wither. I am a conduit of healing and deliverance because your name is marked on me. Thank you, Father. You have delivered me. You have delivered me. You have delivered me by strengthening me to war, strengthening me to beat down the enemy. With long life, you satisfy me. And Lord, oh God, your word says, you honor me. I receive the glory of supernatural wealth, supernatural wisdom, supernatural understanding, supernatural knowledge. Your glory is resting on my life. And with long life, I am greatly satisfied because good words are coming forth out of my mouth. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all of his benefits. He forgiveth thee of all your sins. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. He renews your youth like the eagle. Hallelujah. He satisfies my mouth with good things. My youth is renewed. My youth is renewed. My youth is renewed. With long life, I am satisfied. And my God, my Father, I receive your promise. You said you will show me your salvation. I see it because my eyes are open. I see it. I feel it. I know it. I'm walking in it. I am abiding in it. I am saved. 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 I am delivered. I am prosperous. I am blessed. Above all, I am head and not tail. Above only, never beneath. Thank you, Father. I am the victor, not the victim. Greater is the Lord God Almighty in me, in me, in me, than the devil and all his cohorts in the world. Thank you, Father. I have it. I give that which I have a reason to continue. I give it an assignment. Go forth. Bring home men and women that are lost. I call salvation upon those that God has called me to. In the name of Jesus, come, come, come. You are bidded to come to the Lord God Almighty and worship Him in spirit and in truth. Amen. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Praise God. Amen. God is good. Amen. You may be seated. I trust that you know and understand that we don't come just to hear somebody speaking. Well, we came to hear the Word of God, and we allowed the Word of God to change us so that we become agents of change. Amen? Praise the Lord. This afternoon, let us honor God with our giving. Give with purpose. No call to come tip God. We're called to partner with God. In fact, in the Psalms it says, God says, who are these people who have come to make covenant or be in covenant with me by their sacrifice? Let us give purposefully. Let's target something. This is part of how we also abide in Him, because we are abiding in the truth of His Word. When we do so, when we give, God will birth ideas into your spirit. And if you pursue those ideas, resources will come, for He gives you and I power to get wealth. Amen? Praise the Lord. So I want you to follow through with the Word of God today. Come, let's honor God. Let there not be a time that God doesn't see your offering. In fact, the Word of God talks about daily sacrifices. Let God smell something good. Hallelujah. That's the right song. It's good to be led by the Spirit of God. Can you put those words, if you can, on the screen so that we can sing it? You are my hiding place. You always fill my heart with songs, songs of deliverance. Trust in you. Take of this body and eat. And as you do so, do it remembering that He's your God, the God that you trust. Take and eat.
Of the Lord.
The riches of my God.
I am perfect.
I am perfect.
In the perfection of the Lord.
In the perfection of the Lord.
Somebody say, it is well.
It is well.
With me.
With me.
And my household.
And my household.
The Lord is my strength.
The Lord is
my
strength.
The Lord is my refuge.
The Lord is my refuge.
The Lord is my fortress.
The Lord is my fortress.
The Lord is my buckler.
The Lord is
my shade. The Lord is my shade.
The Lord is my
shade. The Lord is my covering.
The Lord is my covering.
The Lord is my glory.
The Lord is my glory.
The Lord is my defense.
The Lord is my defense.
The Lord keeps me healthy and whole.
The Lord keeps me healthy and whole.
With long life.
With long life.
He has satisfied me.
He has satisfied me.
Say a big amen.
Amen.
Take and drink.
Make it funnel. And say, Father, I belong to you.
I belong to you.
And you belong to me.
And you belong to me.
For you are my God.
You are my God.
The God that I trust in.
The God I trust.
Now, Father,
Father,
let all things now work together for my good. I seek you first.
I seek you first.
Now everything,
everything
is added unto me.
Is added unto me.
I am blessed.
I am blessed.
And highly favored.
And highly favored.
I am greatly increased.
Greatly increased.
In wisdom.
In wisdom.
In stature.
In stature.
And in favor.
And favor.
With your God.
With your God.
And with man.
With man.
In Jesus' name.
Grace,
abounds towards me.
Towards me.
Amen.
Amen
and amen. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
God bless you richly. Is there anyone here for the first time? I don't think so. All right. Well, bless you. And we'll cut off from those that are on YouTube and Facebook, and we'll now greet those that are